Welcome to the Fiscal Physical Podcast. Join us each week as we sit down with the founder of Alchemy Wealth Management and author of Your Fiscal Physical, Ryan Nelson. Tune in to gain valuable insights and practical tips as we simplify complex financial concepts into digestible lessons. From budgeting to retirement planning, this podcast is your go-to resource for mastering financial literacy.
Welcome to all the listeners today. Thank you for joining the Fiscal Physical Podcast. My name is Aaron. I'm the host of this podcast, and I am joined by the financial wizard, my words, not his, Ryan Nelson, founder of Alchemy Wealth Management, published author. Ryan, how is this day treating you so far?
It is good. I'm glad to be here. How's your day going?
It's pretty good, man. Pretty good. Any day that I can sit down with my financial advisor and learn stuff is always a good day for me. And learn about where all my money's going and what to do, what not to do, and then just kind of take it all home and digest it. So hope the listeners do the same, and hopefully you get some good stuff from this episode here.
Perfect. So yeah, let's dive in.
Awesome. So this topic today, we are going to be talking about asset location. In a previous episode, I can't remember which one, I think it was episode 5 actually, we talked about asset allocation, but today we're going to talk about asset location. Similar sounding words themselves. Yep. So when you kind of get thrown around, like, what is asset location, Ryan, in a high level breakdown for us?
Yeah. So, and just a quick refresher. So asset allocation was effectively like the percentage of your money, your investments you have in, say, stocks versus bonds. Mm-hmm. So just as a quick refresher there, that was asset allocation. Asset location is the types of accounts you hold those investments in. So on some previous episodes, we talked about like Roth IRAs versus traditional IRAs, right? There's also brokerage accounts. So there's lots of different investment accounts you can choose. And holding different investments in these different accounts has different implications. So it's really asset location, simply put, is just which accounts you're holding these individual holdings in. And so some examples of that might be, if you were buying some investment that you thought was going to grow a ton, mm-hmm. We talked in an earlier podcast about how you get all the growth tax-free in a Roth IRA.
Which is incredible.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you had some investment that you thought was going to grow a ton, you could put it into a Roth IRA. If you were right and it grew a ton, you'd get all that growth tax-free. Whereas if you put it in a traditional IRA, yeah, you'd still get all that growth, which is awesome, but you'd be taxed on it, right? So if you had both a Roth IRA and a traditional IRA and you were deciding between how to invest those accounts, and you had some inkling that some investment, again, I don't know that this is a best practice to go like,
sure, anytime you use inkling,
but if for whatever reason you thought that some stock was going to go off the charts, in theory, you could go buy that in your Roth IRA instead of your traditional. And then if you were right and it did get tons of gains, you'd get all those gains tax-free. So that'd be one example. Another example I see a lot, and we can allude to this more in a future episode when we talk more about tax rates, but there's some people in a previous episode we mentioned dividends and how mm-hmm. dividends Definitely. Work. And so some people try to base their retirement strategy off of dividends. And one of the nice things is if you get qualified dividends, they're taxed at a different tax rate than your normal ordinary income. And it's a more favorable tax rate. So there might be somebody out there, well, I know there's people out there that have heard this and they say, oh man, this dividend and retirement strategy is awesome. I can get all this money. I'm taxed at these lower rates. This is awesome. And then, so they have their old 401k, they might have all their retirement in, say, an old 401k that's now an IRA, mm-hmm. and they have, $1 million in that account. And they say, okay, I'm going to buy all dividend paying stocks. And I'm going to use this dividend strategy as my retirement strategy. And it's going to put me, I'm going to be able to pay the gains I'm getting on this at lower and lower rates. Well, that's just not true. If all the money you're taking out of a traditional IRA or 401k are taxed at your ordinary income rates, mm-hmm. the only way this would be true is if those stocks that were paying these qualified dividends were in a brokerage account. So having the location that these investments are in are dictating the future tax implications, both for the growth as well as for these qualified dividends. So it's certainly an important consideration, especially for retirees as you're making distributions, which accounts, how you're invested in each specific account. And that would be asset location.
Asset location. Okay, awesome. That is great to, you know, kind of paint that picture of where it is so important. Like you think right. about like, you know, there's the layman's like idea of like, oh, keeping your money under the mattress. Like
sure.
obviously
yeah,
it's
yeah.
like, okay, well that's there. It's not doing anything, yep. but it's right here for when I need it.
Right.
Versus like, hey, maybe if I keep it in a savings account and get, you know, 0.001% on yep. that. And then it just kind of gets higher level or I guess more complex from there to be like, where I have my money
right.
really shapes what I can eventually do with that money or what yeah. you're looking to do with that overall.
Absolutely.
Cool. And that's really, I don't know. That's cool. That's cool to think about like that.
There's, yeah.
And that's something that as a financial advisor, you would make sure that your client's money is in the right locations, right?
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, if you're going back to like maybe that retiree wanting to execute the dividend retirement strategy first, you know, it's like, is that even a strategy that you should be executing? If yes, the only way it gets executed efficiently is if it's in the right location, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, it's these things I think in practice don't come up or aren't like as meaningful as like it could be. Like again, I don't think you should be buying an individual stock. Like if you're not a stock analyst, you shouldn't probably be making these big, bold decisions on, oh, I'm going to put a bunch of money in stock ABC.
Right.
Well, if you're not a stock analyst, you probably shouldn't be putting money in stock ABC. So like you wouldn't be like, again, big game hunting and trying to put this money into a Roth that's going to grow. And you're saying, oh, I'm putting it in the Roth because I want this growth tax-free. That's probably not a good strategy to begin with. But if you're going to do it, put it in the right location, right? So if you are going to take that strategy, it's probably not one I would recommend. If you are going to do it though, make sure you're doing it in the right location. So again, if you're following that retirement dividend strategy, make sure it's not in your 401k. Otherwise, you're not even getting the benefits you thought yeah. you were initially getting, right? So in reality, when we're building diversified portfolios for our clients, like asset allocation is, in my mind, far more important. Figuring that out, making sure the clients are taking the appropriate level of risk. Some of these nuances, when we have a nice, robust, defined retirement strategy, some of these nuances just don't come up. It's kind of like these are opportunities for failure almost. And you want to avoid those potential opportunities for failure. But this asset location, you know, I mean, it's not even for some people, if somebody only has a 401k, they've saved all their money in their 401k, there's not even really a discussion to be had. It's your only location is your 401k, yeah. right? Now you can start having a discussion. Do you want to do a Roth conversion with that? You know, convert, you know, transfer, you know, roll that over into a traditional IRA, maybe convert it to Roth. Now you have two different locations. Now maybe take a different strategy in each. Absolutely. But yeah, so definitely some food for thought there.
Yeah, no, I definitely think that there's quite a bit to break down there as far as figuring out the best place to, and like you said, like it's sometimes for people, the choice is made for them because of previous decisions. They're like, well, right. I just have a 401k or I just have this
right.
account where it's SCEP. And it's like, okay, well, potentially, is that the best? Well, I don't know, but that's where we're at right,
right.
now. And you kind of go from there. And you can listen to some of these previous episodes, like you mentioned, the Roth conversion.
Right.
I think that really kind of comes full circle too, because you're like, oh, well, maybe you do X amount to convert over to a Roth and
yeah.
like what makes the best financial sense for you and your situation and your age and
absolutely
all that, all your risk capacity. Love
yep.
that.
Yep.
And all those different kind of factors that play into it.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Ryan. That was a great one. I really feel like that was a brief little snippet here that I feel like is very important.
I know you did have that example.
Oh, yeah.
You want to bring
right.
that one up?
I did. Think yes. So on a previous episode, we talked about the infamous Peter Thiel, I think is it Thiel?
Yeah. So I got to credit my buddy Zach. I think he helped educate me here. I think he actually pronounces his name Thiel. Peter Thiel.
Oh, well,
I've been referring to him as Peter Thiel my whole life. So
yeah.
I know, Peter, I know you're an avid listener. I apologize.
Yeah.
So credit Zach with educating me. Actually, it's pronounced Peter Thiel.
Peter Thiel. Okay. And we covered a little bit on the previous one. Now, he just has a wicked Roth, pretty
yep.
much, to simplify it here, but I'll let you kind of take it away here.
Yeah, to summarize what you brought up in a previous conversation. So, yeah, Peter was able to get some PayPal stock into a Roth IRA back in, it was like $2,000 worth back in 1999. Mm-hmm. And so that was one of those investments that grew like a weed.
Yeah.
And so now it's worth $5 billion, with a B, $5 billion in his Roth. So he got all that tax free. So he's pretty excited now. He turned his 2000, you know, he basically gets $5 billion yeah. tax free. Had he put that into a traditional IRA instead, that he'd still have $5 billion, but he'd owe the government taxes on every penny of that $5 billion. You know, what's tax, you know, God, that's like $1 billion difference.
A lot
you know,
of money.
He would have owed $1 billion or more dollars to the IRS. So, you know, that's a prime example of the account you put the money into affecting how much money you can spend later on in life. And so obviously he somehow, you know, I don't know if he did this intentionally or just dumb luck, but you know, he had the foresight. He had these PayPal stocks that were about to grow like a weed. He got it into a Roth IRA at the right time. They exploded into $5 billion. And now, thanks to his asset location, he gets all of that money tax-free.
Yeah, makes a huge difference for sure. I mean, $2,000 into $5 billion is a pretty solid return on investment, might say.
So, oh, yeah.
Awesome. Well, we'll go ahead and pause here. I feel like that was a great breakdown of asset location. And we'll be back on the other side of this with some personal questions.
And now, to put the personal in personal finance.
Welcome back to the Fiscal podcast in our personal section here. Ryan, this is a question that I feel like is pretty applicable to almost everybody's, you know, day-to-day or their life in general. Everybody talks about, or I've heard it talked about, like financial freedom. Uh-huh. What do you consider financial freedom? I know that's kind of what we're working towards, like for your clients to be like, that's one of the ultimate goals a lot of times is be able to be financially fit,
yep.
But also like free in a way.
Yes. Yeah, so financial free, being financially fit, I suppose, would just be having that education, mm-hmm. You know, the wherewithal of what to do and when to do it. Becoming financially free, to gain financial freedom, in my mind, would be where money is no longer like a decision maker in mm-hmm. your life. So right now, you know, you'll probably wake up tomorrow and go to work, not because you feel like you have a decision, like you feel like you have to go to work because you have a car to pay for and a house to pay for and a kid to feed, right?
Yep.
And so I would say you don't have financial freedom right now.
Right.
Once you get to the point where any given day you could say, I don't want to go into work, I quit. You have financial freedom. You no longer need that money. You could keep the house over your head. You could keep the car in the garage. You could keep food on your kid's table. You could do all the things you need to do in life. That's when you become financially free and you've reached financial freedom. So that doesn't mean that you quit your job. You may wake up tomorrow and say, you might have $2 million, $5 million, $20 million, $100 million in your bank account. And you may wake up tomorrow and say, God, I love my job. I'm going in and doing my job tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
But you're no longer doing it for the money. You're mm-hmm. doing it because it's something you enjoy, something you want to do, right? There's some other driver. It's no longer the financial side, right? So financial freedom is just when you get to that point in life where you can really choose, you know, finances are no longer those like decision makers. So, mm-hmm. You know, I think that working is a classic example of it. There'd probably be some other examples, maybe, you know, I know, you know, the Super Bowl was a few months back. I didn't go to the Super Bowl.
Right.
I would say I couldn't afford going to the Super
yeah.
Bowl, right? There's lots of people who spending $8,000 on a ticket is not even irresponsible. It's well within their realm of being able to spend that much on their, it's reasonable for them to spend that much. They would have a different level of financial freedom. They would have a level of financial freedom that allows them to spend $8,000 on a football game and still live their lifestyle, right? So financial freedom isn't even created equally for everybody. I think there's
right.
different levels of it. And you could get to a level where you could say, yeah, I could walk away from my work anytime I want. Like I can keep my roof over my head. I can keep my car in my garage. I can keep food on my kid's table. But I still can't go to the NFL game, right? And if you say, no, I want the level of financial freedom where I can go to the NFL game, then you really haven't reached, I suppose, like your financial freedom yet. You'd have to continue to work, continue to build your net worth until you get to a point where you have enough even disposable income to do those types of things, right? So I think people talk about financial freedom like it's this black and white line. I don't see it like that. I see it more as a gray line, and everybody's kind of has a different perception of what it means to be financially free. Again, so, you know, some people would say, no, I'm not financially free. I'd have to keep working until I can go to every Super Bowl. Like I need to be right. Like, that's my goal. Some people would say, oh, I'm never going to be able to afford that, but they retire long before they can afford that. Right. So it all comes down to your lifestyle and your expenses. But again, I think becoming financial, your definition of financial freedom is when finances are no longer a decision maker for your day-to-day decisions.
Right. No, that's an excellent breakdown of, honestly, I was just going to say I'd like to be able to order a pizza whenever I want and not have to worry about it. Like,
there you
like,
go.
Like, I think about, like, you know, the you mentioned the employment factor, though, because that's a big thing that I think about. Like, I always dream about calling in rich. Like, hey, guys, I'm not going to come in today. I'm rich.
That's
like,
funny. Yeah. Thing, like, I've never heard that. I'll have to use that. I'll have to steal that. That's funny.
Please do. I think that that would be my level of, like, financial freedom where I'm like, hey, you know what?
Absolutely.
I'm good. Like I don't need to go into work today. Like I'm solid. I'm set too. So I think everybody, once you hit it right on the head, totally different for everybody, but that's a really good breakdown of what somebody might want in their financial freedom, but it's making sure that like you know, to get there, you have to make the right decisions at the same time too.
And 100%.
That's a big piece that hopefully from the listeners of this podcast, you'll be able to learn a little bit just to increase your financial knowledge, financial literacy.
Absolutely.
As you've mentioned, and kind of be on that path to financial freedom would be, I mean, that'd be a great goal if you're getting from this. So
absolutely. Yeah. More financially fit you become, you can get at least on that track, like you said, to become financially free. So absolutely.
Excellent. Well, I appreciate it, Ryan, as always. Appreciate the listeners for tuning in here, and I'll turn it over to you to send us off here.
Thank you, Aaron. Let's stay the course.
Thank you for joining us for the Fiscal Physical Podcast. Until next time, happy listening, and as always, stay the course. If you have a question or topic suggestions, please email us at podcast@alchemywealth.com. If you enjoyed today's discussion, subscribe to the podcast to ensure you never miss an episode, and consider leaving us a rating and review on your favorite platform. This helps other listeners like you find the show. For more resources, you can visit Alchemy Wealth Management's website at www.alchemywealth.com or find your Fiscal Physical, the book, on Amazon. We'd be remiss if we didn't mention that personal finance is just that, personal. Please don't take anything we say as advice. The preceding content is for informational and entertainment purposes only. It's not an offer or a solicitation, nor should it be construed or relied upon for tax, legal, or investment advice. It doesn't consider your personal financial situation or objectives and may not be suitable for you.